And open your Bibles to James chapter 5.
All right, preach the word. Preach the word, bro. Preach it.
Martin Luther King once said, it is no more possible to be a Christian without prayer than to be alive without breathing. How is your prayer life? Today we finished the book of James in our spiritual maturity series. And we would be wrong to do it without covering prayer. Because you can't be spiritually mature without prayer. Martin Luther King puts before us, you can't even be spiritually alive without prayer. The title of the lesson, Powerful and Effective Prayer. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 13.
Come on, bro.
Is any one of you in trouble?
Well,
he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to what, guys? To pray over him and anoint him with oil. And oil, back then, was believed to be one of the greatest medicines. And do it in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is
powerful
and effective. Powerful and effective prayer. Point number one. Powerful and effective prayer starts with a righteous life. You know what it says? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I know for me, if I know that I'm in sin, there's no way my prayers are powerful and effective. How about you? When I know I'm not being righteous in the way I handle things, and right here it just starts out. How do you be righteous? You do what's right. You do what's good. What's righteous? If you're in trouble, you should pray. If you're happy, you should praise God. If you're sick, you should call, it says the elders to come pray over you. When I'm not being righteous, though, I can't pray. You know why? I feel like a hypocrite. You know why we feel like hypocrites when we're not righteous? Because we are hypocrites. When we're saying one thing, and we are purposefully living a different way for whatever reason, we're hypocrites. We can't feel good about ourselves. There's no way we can talk to God powerfully and effectively. And the key issue here is very simple. Confess your sin. That's what it says. And it says, confess your sins to each other. This is a very basic tenet of spiritual maturity. I grew up in a church where I was taught all I had to do to confess my sin was to go in the little closet in the back of the church and talk through a screen to the guy that was really old and I didn't know at all and tell him what I did. And then he would tell me to go utter some memorized prayers, and that would be penance, and I'm good and done. And millions, that's what they do today. But you know, they don't even really get it all out in that little booth. Father, forgive me for I've sinned. It's been 26 years since my last confession, and since then I have grumbled. That's it. What the Bible devil is calling for is a heartfelt openness about where you're messing up. Let's talk. You know how you feel at ease? Talk about where you're really at. But Satan puts all these fears. We don't want to talk about where we're really at, because then people know where we're really at and they won't like us if they know where we're really at. And it's that fear. They won't like me if they know me. Or they'll think I'm horrible. Well, we are. But God gives us grace and peace. And what an amazing example Luis and Maricela just gave us. That incredible openness. And you saw the tears because they were heartfelt about it. We've got to confess our sin. We've got to be humble. There's a phrase I learned early on in my Christian walk that I have to keep reminding myself of. Don't waste your sin. Don't waste your sin. Well, you've already sinned. You've already messed up. God knows it. You know it. There's a lot of other people struggling with that same stuff. And so what Luis just did by reading that journal, what Maricela just did by getting open about what she struggled with this past week, they didn't waste their sin. They got it out there. And you know what it did? For those of us trying to overcome, you know what we thought? Oh, man, I'm a sinner too. Wow, they just got open. What a great example. I want to get open too. And so, if there's anything I can share that I've done in my past where I've messed up, and there's plenty, if it'll help you get open about your life, I'm happy to share it. I don't want to waste it. I'm happy to share where I've blown it, what I've learned, how I've overcome years ago and yesterday. Or maybe this morning as well. But it's about confessing our sin. And I know one time I was confessing some sin to Kip, who's my dear friend and mentor. And he just asked me, he said, "Chris, you know, you really have to ask yourself, do you believe that prayer and righteousness make a difference?" And in my mind, of course, the answer is, well, yes, I do. Well, then what happened? Why did I do this? Why was I deceitful? I was being a hypocrite. The answer is simple. You just got to repent. And you got to get open. You can't lead a righteous life if you don't get open about where you're really at. You know, it's like calling up the airlines and saying, "I'd like a ticket to New York, please." And they're like, "Well, where are you?" I don't want to tell you. I don't want to be open about that. Why? You coming to my house? No, you got to let them know where you're at so they can get you where you need to go. And I got to ask you today, do you believe prayer and righteousness make a difference? Point number two. Powerful and effective prayer comes from faith. It comes from faith. What does the Scripture say? "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." See, you pray a prayer, but you don't believe it. What's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Are you with me? It's the prayer offered in faith. Hebrews 11:6. "Anyone that comes to me," God says, "must believe that I exist and that I reward those who earnestly seek me." And so it's the prayer offered in faith. Go to John 14. Let's read from the words of Jesus here. I hope this sermon inspires you to have a powerful and effective prayer life. John 14, starting in verse, let's just go one. How about that? "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I bet you in the crowd this side some hearts are troubled this morning. Jesus says, "Do not." And of course, if you read these chapters, Jesus is dealing with the issue of Him leaving them and predicting His death. And then His resurrection. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. trust in God. Trust also in me. If you don't have powerful and effective prayer, there's no way you can do that. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm your friend here. I'm telling you the truth. Okay, if it weren't so, I would have told you. Trust me. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. That's Jesus' heart for you guys. And he says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time. 3 years, right? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who does His work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. We're dealing with a fundamental trust in who Jesus is. Because you can't pray to God if you don't know who God is. And if you don't believe He exists, and you don't believe He's going to reward you if you earnestly seek Him, that's fundamental to praying in faith. Amen. Verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, look at this church, will do what I have been doing.
That's right.
Amen. People that say they have faith in Jesus, but they don't walk like Jesus walked, they do not have faith in Jesus. They may want to use Jesus like an unlimited credit card to pray for whatever they want. But James says, the reason you pray and don't receive is because when you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your own pleasure. If you're the Lord of your life and you're doing whatever you choose with your life, and you're not following Jesus and doing what He did with His life, you are not. You cannot bear His name.
Right. Come on.
You can say you're an astronaut, but that doesn't mean you walked on the moon.
Right.
Jesus said, if you have faith in me, you'll do what I've been doing. And your prayers, they have to be offered in faith. That means you've got to be walking with Christ.
Right.
And He says, that person, he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it.
Wow.
That's powerful and effective prayer.
Wow.
Jesus, you're going to do greater things than me. Why? Because we're greater than Jesus? No. But He's died for us. He's suffered for us. God raised Him from the dead. He's went and sat next to the right hand of God and He says, now I'm up here and I'm in authority. Just ask me. I'll grant it. And so you'll do even greater things. Go to Matthew 8. One of my favorites. The centurion. A spiritual maturity class that didn't have this scripture would not be as awesome as one with this scripture. Amen. This principle of offering it in faith, that you really believe God, you really believe He's going to reward you if you're earnestly seeking Him. Matthew 8, verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home and is paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go and he goes, and that one, come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, look at this, guys. He was astonished. Now that's pretty hot right there. That makes me think of when T-Mac threw the ball off the backboard and dunked his own ball, and Kobe went, wow. That was in the All-Star game. The best of the best. And Kobe went, wow. How about the Lord of all going, wow. Astonishing faith. That is so impressive. And check it out. The reason the centurion believed Jesus had the power to do it is he understood authority. I'm a soldier. I get an order. I do it. I tell a soldier under me, do it. He does it. And he reasoned, Jesus is Lord of all. If he says, sickness go, it goes. And sickness come, it comes. And that's faith. Yep. What do you think Jesus isn't in authority of in your life? Jesus was astonished. And he said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Nobody amongst the people of God has the faith this centurion, this Italian regiment guy, had more faith than God's people. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and take their place at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go. It'll be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour.
Wow, come on, bro. Preach that.
Powerful and effective prayer comes from faith. I can tell you right now, I know right now, how the next 6 months of your life are going to go. Shall I prophesy? You know how they're going to go? However you believe they will. You walk out of here today with little dreams, little prayer goals. Well, little things are going to happen in your life. But you dare to dream. You understand Jesus is Lord of all. And whatever you ask, He will grant it. Now, we got to talk about a little caveat here. This is not the unlimited credit card to do what you will. I believe on that Lexus. No. James 4, 1-3 says, if you ask for selfish motives, you're not getting it. And James 4, 13-17 says, if it's your arrogance making plans and not praying for the Lord's will, that's boasting and arrogant. You're not getting blessed on that either. Even Jesus went to Gethsemane and said, God, my will is if there's another way. But your will be done, God. See, it's if you want to be in the will of God. You're about the purpose of God. Then your dad's going to aid you in every way. But it's not like that we decide what's best. Part of it's humility. And knowing that when God says no, sometimes that's the best answer. Otherwise, you know what happened? The earth would be incredibly overpopulated. Because we'd pray that none of our loved ones ever died. But God in His sovereignty chooses our days. I took a trip to New York this past week. It's a wonderful trip. I was baptized in New York City. So every time I go there, a lot of memories come flooding back. I actually had 2 free AirTran tickets that were going to expire next month. If I didn't use them, we'd lose them. And, you know, I wanted to take a trip and make some memories with my son. I always learned watching Roger. He would drive from Syracuse over to Cleveland, take Joel to see LeBron. And so I thought, let me do a few things here. The Adams just moved to New York City, just gave up everything again. Moved out of their big house into this little bitty tiny apartment in Astoria, Queens. To help shepherd the young, fired up church in New York City. And so let me go and make sure they landed in a great way and take care of them. And I got these free tickets, so the church won't have to take care of that. That'll be awesome. So me and Austin went down, and me and Chris Adams and Austin and young Blake, we went to a Yankees game. And it was awesome. They won 9-3, so that was encouraging. And we had a lot of great memories, but one of my favorite memories was after midweek, after I preached to the men, we went out with Mike Underhill. You know who that is, right, Brittany? Mike Underhill. And Vic Ortiz. A lot of you know Vic. He came to the singles retreat out here. He helped Kathy Barossa get her gangster on. That was awesome. And Vic, as we prayed earlier, his mom's at the end stages of cancer. It's been really, really challenging. And Vic was a little down. And so we all went out to have some food together and to try to encourage our brother Vic. And he said, if I'm honest with you guys, I'm upset, I'm angry. Because I really believe my mom was going to pull out of this. She got baptized just a few weeks ago. It was a miracle. So her salvation is secure. But Vic's hurting. So I really believe she's going to get better because that's what he prayed for. But I just said to him, you know, if nobody ever died, what, death is the very consequence for the sin that we committed. And you know, the crazy thing is in Hebrews 2:14, Jesus came and took on flesh and blood because we're of flesh and blood, walked in our shoes, and died. And it says it was to free us from our fear of death. I remember laying on my bed, even growing up religious, so afraid of death. There are people all over the city today, they are afraid to die. They aren't confident. They aren't secure. Jesus came to free us of our fear of death. When we sing Jordan River, I'm bound to cross, right? I've got one more river. Jordan River is death. And the promised land is heaven. So the very portal to where we want to go is death, but we're afraid of it? That's how Satan works. And we read 1 Thessalonians 4:13, where it says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep in the Lord. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Okay, if you die and you're outside the Lord, there's no hope. Yeah. Vic's mom's in the Lord. Yeah. I said, Vic, you know how many of us would trade with you that want our moms to be right? But then the Spirit put on my heart to share about a couple that we love dearly, those of us from Syracuse. And Austin knew immediately, Bob and Mary Thomas. Bob and Mary, they're still in the church in Syracuse. The way they found God is quite amazing. Their son, Stephen of 6, was dying. And he was in Jersey receiving treatments. So they're staying at a hotel in Jersey. And they were just walking the halls, letting Stephen kind of walk around. He was in the room feeling cooped up. And that Sunday morning, they heard singing in the halls of the hotel. And it was one of our congregations there in New Jersey. And that's how they met the church. So they got hooked up with the church in Syracuse. They studied the Bible. They got baptized. But then about a year later, Stephen passed on. And it was crushing, of course, for parents. But the way Bob and Mary learned to look at it, Stephen was 7. He hadn't come to the age to understand sin and what it means and accountability. Stephen was pure and innocent and will be in heaven. So to Bob and Mary, they have even more treasure in heaven. And they'll tell you, when we die and get to heaven, first thing we're going to do is hug Jesus. But then we're going to hug Stephen. And I just shared that with Vic. And I said, Vic, your mom is secure. You've got to know that. But it may be happening this way, so that after she passes, you stay straight the rest of your walk. That you have more treasure in heaven to keep you straight. Because you're going to go hug Jesus. And you're going to hug your mom, who's your sister. And he welled up with tears. And the next day, he even texted me and said, thank you so much for that food, for that conversation. I can't stop thinking about what you told me. But that's the heart of faith, guys.
Right.
To trust the Scriptures. Yeah. And that brings me to the third point.
Come on. Great, bro.
Powerful and effective prayer. It starts with righteousness, life. A righteous life. It comes from faith, but it also brings healing. Powerful and effective prayer brings healing. You with me, guys? Back in James 5:16, let's go back to that scripture that says, therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be
healed.
You've already been forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross and when you were buried with Him in baptism. But there's still conflict. There's still pain that you need to be healed of. You know how you get healed? Well, we've already talked about number one, you've got to confess. A clear conscience is healing. If you've got secret sin this morning, there's stuff you know you should talk about and you haven't, there's no way that you're healed at peace. Because you feel like it's in there. Like, ugh. And it's hard to be honest and get it out. But when you do, like Luis did, you know he felt just a healing. Even sharing that stuff again. A clear conscience is healing. The other part here that we see in that scripture, twice it says, each other. You know one of the most healing things is to get your mind off yourself. We have so many ailments and problems because we just think about me, 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 me. Even worldly psychologists will tell you, if you're just on the edge, if you're messed up, go outside, find the first person you see and do something for them. God made us in such a way that we consider others better than ourselves. It's healing. Because we realize, oh yeah, I'm not the only one with troubles in the world. And we confess our sin to each other. We go, oh man, I can relate. Let me share what I did. And then you don't, okay, amen, I'm glad we talked. Now I'm going to pray for me and you pray for you. No, let me pray for you. You pray for me. Let's pray for each other. You realize we're in this together. God sets the lonely in families. He sets the lonely in the world that won't tell anybody what they're really like. That won't tell anybody what they're really doing. Because everybody's afraid that they won't like each other. And He puts us in the kingdom where we can be totally honest with all our garbage. And we only love each other more. It's incredibly healing. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I hope you're encouraged by this. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 17. Paul, speaking to the Thessalonians, says, but brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time in person but not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. What is our hope? Our joy? Or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 1, that I'd rather go be with God. I'd rather leave this earth and go be with God, which is better by far. But the only reason I'm going to stay is why? Fruitful labor. If I stay and I'm full of faith and I minister to you, your faith will grow in Jesus, and that's all I'm about. Let's get to heaven. Because it's much better than this place. And here you see his heart again. These are the people he ministered to. The people that did respond. The people that were walking in faith with Jesus. He said, you're our joy and crown. On the last day, guys, nothing's going to matter. When we die and we're standing before Jesus, nothing's going to matter except, do we go to heaven? And who is there with us that we brought along? You gotta. Otherwise, you get caught up in all this stuff that doesn't matter. On earth. One of the most healing parts of prayer for me is when I thank God. You know, count your blessings. When we spend time in prayer, thanking God. And one of the things I love to do, you know that word association game where somebody says, I'm going to say a word and you say the first word that pops into your head. Okay? And I won't do that with you here this morning because who knows what Chris Wooden might say. But anyway. One of the things I did not too long ago in prayer that was a lot of fun was I prayed for someone and then I just prayed for the very next person that I thought of. For example, I pray for Chris. God, thank you for Chris becoming a Christian. Thank you for those turkey light sandwiches we go get when we have lunch together. And God, thank you for Lorado. Right? Because that's the next thought. And of course, the shakalaka comes to mind. If I'm honest. And then I think of South Africa and I go, thank you for Andrew and Patrick. That they're training and learning to go to South Africa. And then I think of the fact that they took Syracuse when God called Teresa and I to leave, and they took care of Syracuse. And then I can't help but think about the O'Donnells who stayed and anchored it with them. Thank you for the O'Donnells. And then I think of Megan. God, she's growing up to be so big and beautiful. Help her become a Christian. And then Liza comes to mind. And I thank God for and it's just kind of fun. You ought to try it. Just kind of praying for people as they pop into your head, just one after another after another. It is healing. Because he just reminds you the joy and the crown that God's given us together. When I think of healing, and I think of prayer, I think of Dave and Bernie. And the healing that has come and is continuing to come to their marriage. Did you see the picture of them online? They're on our website. And they are so beautiful and happy together on that picture on the website. If you don't know the story, guys, Dave was a part of our former fellowship, but he left because of the lukewarmness that came in. And when he came here, after years of not knowing we were here, there are so many people out there, they are lost, they've strayed, they have no idea we're here. But Kathy Borosik got her gangster on, ran into Dave, not by accident, invited him, he came right here. Met him right before church, and as soon as I was done preaching, he came down in tears. I haven't heard this in years. I'm home. He joined up. But Satan had done a number on their marriage. Through sin. Just destroyed it. They were almost divorced. And Dave had little hope, but he began to pray, Bernie. He began to pray for his own sin and the changes he needed to make. And he just prayed Bernie would give him a chance. Long story short, not only did she get restored, was it last Sunday? Oh man, time flies. But to see them so happy together and being healed, that's powerful and effective prayer that brings healing. That is, only God could do that, right guys? I think of Maria Cortez. You know, and that just warms your heart. Because I remember Maria. When we met her, she was living in a bad situation and didn't even have her daughters with her. They were in Texas with her mom. Not only did she have the courage to step out of that wrong situation and get right with God, but then she had the faith. Because before, how would she take care of these girls? But now she's in a family where a village will raise those children. She brought them, and aren't they just growing up before our very eyes? Maria's been so sacrificial. She's a single mom, but she's one of the most sacrificial people in her giving. She always shares her prayers at missions contribution time. How she gets a Christmas present. She puts it up on eBay or whatever, and it just sells, and she gives to these contributions. Well, the other day, she hit a financial hurdle. You know, if you're not spiritual and you give to God and then you hit a hurdle, you can get bitter with what you gave. Well, she didn't. She prayed. She needed child care for her kids. And in the budget, she only had $50 a week to do it. She went to the place near her house and only cost $240 a week for both kids. So she prayed. She talked to him. They gave it to her for both kids for $45 a week. And then all summer, it was $75 each for the swim pass, $150. They gave it to her for free. She said she just cried all the way home in thanksgiving. Let me tell you, powerful and effective prayer brings healing. Last point. Powerful and effective prayer results in a powerful and effective life. Back to James 5. And we'll close out here at James in our study series.
Come on, bro. Good stuff, bro.
James 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man just like
us.
Sisters go, I'm not a man. Heck are you talking about? No. Elijah was a human, just like us. He was not God in the flesh like Jesus. He was a human. It says here, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Guys, this is incredible. Powerful and effective prayer results in a powerful and effective life. We don't have time now, but later you can go read in 1 Kings chapter 17 and chapter 18 about this whole situation. And I hope you're asking yourself, why did he pray that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years? What's that all about? Well, the northern kingdom had a king, Ahab, who was not leading them in a righteous way. In fact, he was leading them to worship the Baal, to worship false gods. And so God sent Elijah, and then later, Elisha, right guys? As God's agent. In very much in the same way, he sent Moses to Pharaoh. Just a man, Moses. And he sent him to the most powerful man on earth to deal with him. He sent Elijah to deal with Ahab. Are you a man or a woman with a powerful and effective prayer life that will result in God being able to send you to whoever he needs to, and you'll deliver a powerful and effective message? That's who God needs us to be, guys. We preach very often about not being arrogant, and rightly so. But I'm afraid we swing the pendulum too far. I'm afraid in this room we are way too insecure. I want to challenge you. We are too insecure. We are not the agents that God can send to the most powerful people on this earth to deliver his message.
Come on.
And we've got to repent, church.
Amen.
If we're going to be who God needs us to be, it's going to start with our prayer life. But God sent Elijah as his agent, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain. The drought was not only a divine judgment on the nation that had turned to idolatry, but also a demonstration that even though Baal was considered the god of fertility and the lord of the rain clouds, that he was powerless to give rain. Wow. These false gods claim they can do so much, and they aren't in authority over anything. But it took Elijah praying that prayer. I love what Jesus said. Philip, these are not just my words. They're from God. But they were His words. See, God's not speaking. God's not choosing to just speak in this deep theotype tone, senior or junior, to any of us. But He may speak through either one of them or any of you if you're willing to say the words that are not just your words, but are God's. I'm telling you, God has things to do on this earth. But He needs powerful and effective men and women that will be like Elijah and that will save them. Finally here, verse 19, let's finish it. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back. See, it takes someone sent by God like Kathy Brosek to bring Dave back and for Dave to humble out and go grab Bernie. If you should bring him back, verse 20, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way, and we're in error if we're not walking with God, guys. You will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. God needs us to be powerful and effective men and women that go after His lost children, that go after the strays and bring them back. We've got to pray for the strays, guys. I remember for myself, when I studied the Bible, I studied with a man who said something to me that changed my life forever. He looked at me as I was studying the Bible, but before I got baptized, and he said to me, Chris, I'm going to say something to you, and I don't want you to get a big head about it. Okay, what do you want to say? He said, I want you to know I've been praying very specifically to study the Bible with an actor. So we're in New York City, and that's the career I was involved in at the time. I've been praying to study the Bible with an actor who's going to give that all up and become an evangelist in the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you sincerely and earnestly, from that moment, there is nothing else I desired to do. Nothing. See, God was speaking to me through this man. He was putting a dream in my heart. That was His dream through this man. And it changed the course of my life, and it covered over a multitude of sins. First, when you get baptized, it just covers over all that garbage we did. But when it turns me from the error of my ways, and believe me, I've sinned plenty. I still struggle with that. But there are a multitude of sins over the last 20 years that I did not commit. That I would have absolutely if I didn't turn from the error of my ways. That is powerful. And that is effective prayer. I want to challenge you today, your prayer life. You know, we do something here in the church, we call it impossible prayer list. Things that with us are impossible, but with God all things are impossible. And from time to time I challenge church, write down your 5 impossible prayers. And then let's see God work, and then you share with us how God's worked. I remember Cornell, one of his impossible prayers was Carl. God answered that one. I remember the week before the Jubilee, Carl stood up and shared, I made an impossible prayer that I would study the Bible with one of my dear friends. And we need to be praying for Matthew Thompson. He had to go to the hospital this morning because I believe one of the kids was sick. But Matthew Thompson stood up here at Carl's prayer that not only would he baptize a close friend, but they would go to the Jubilee. He got baptized the Sunday before the Jubilee. And that day, after we'd given out all the fundraiser money, not to mention all that prayers, guys. Remember our prayers that we'd get over 100 to L.A. and God blessed it? Yeah. Well, one of those was Matthew. And I'll never forget, he came to the table and I said, Matthew, there's a spot for you. He was so fired up. That was an answer to Carl's impossible prayers. I want to encourage you, refill that list of impossible prayers. Powerful and effective prayer starts with a righteous life. Amen?
Amen.
What was point number two?
Faith.
Comes from faith, brings healing, and results in a powerful and effective life. God needs us, guys. Last week we talked about not holding on. I want to talk to you this week about not holding back. Let's be humble, but let's be the confident men and women of God that He can use in this generation. God bless you.
Yeah.